Want to talk about being grateful believers. And I want to start off with a video clip. Likely didn't see this movie. It's a few years old. It's called Grand Canyon. And in this video clip, the two main actors are Danny Glover and Kevin Klein. Danny Glover is a picks up cars, inner city, tow truck driver. Kevin Klein, successful businessman, and is driving through a bad section of that inner city and breaks down. Comes face to face with a gang and gunpoint, and Danny Glover arrives on the scene. Kevin Klein wants to thank him. So Kevin Klein is showing up early morning after Danny Glover's shift to say thank you.
Hey. Hey, how you doing?
I don't know if you remember me.
Oh, hey man, sure. Mac, right?
Right.
Yeah, I didn't recognize you at first. Yeah.
I called and they said you'd be getting in about now. I wanted to thank you again for the other night.
You did already.
Look, can I buy you breakfast somewhere or something?
Sure. Just a minute. Play basketball?
I played in high school. I was sixth man for a year and a half.
Me too. Sixth man until my senior year, then I started.
Okay. Center or forward?
Forward. I wasn't big enough for center.
It must have been some team.
Yeah, we had Oscar Benson on that team.
No shit. You must be pretty good.
I wasn't playing the same game that Oscar was playing. look, the other night, I don't know if you're in so much danger except for maybe losing your wallet. I didn't save your life, so you shouldn't be thinking you have to say something to me or anything.
One morning, about 3 years ago, I was on my way to a meeting at the Mutual Benefit Building on Wilshire in the Miracle Mile. I love that name, Miracle Mile. It's the building across the street from the County Art Museum. I was thinking about the meeting I was going to. I was worried about it, actually, and I started to step off the curb. And a stranger grabbed me and yanked me back. The bus went flying by my nose. I mean, it just filled up the world 6 inches from my nose. I would have been like a wet bug stain on the front of the bus. I wouldn't have even felt it. It would have been over so fast. I thanked this stranger, this woman in a baseball cap, but I was pretty much in a daze. When I thanked her, she said, "My pleasure." I didn't notice till the last moment that the cap she was wearing was from the Pittsburgh Pirates, my favorite team since I was a kid.
Roberto Clemente.
Right. I never got over the idea that I should have thanked that woman more, talked to her a little while, something. I mean, she reached out and yanked me back from the edge, literally. Changed everything for me, for my wife and my son. Then she just wandered off down the Miracle Mile. How come she was wearing a Pirates cap? I mean, it's not your usual thing. At 9 a.m. on Wilshire Boulevard, a woman in a Pittsburgh Pirates baseball cap? It's a little suspicious.
You lost me.
I just wondered later on, was she for real? You know? Was that a real person? Or was that something else, you know, sent from somewhere else to grab me back from that curb.
Is that what you wondered about me?
I just couldn't let it happen again. I didn't want to just let you drift away like she did and never talk to you. It just didn't seem right to let it happen twice. So that's why I'm bothering you.
You don't bother me. You just buy me breakfast.
I don't know that you've ever had an experience of almost becoming like a bug on the front of a bus. But have you ever had the experience where somebody has made a difference in your life, but you didn't take the opportunity and the time to say thank you to them? I want you to recognize this morning, more than anything, that there is one who has made a difference in your life. And I want you to have this morning the opportunity to say to that one, thank you. Thank you. Our text, if you want to open with me, is Luke 17. Story about 10 healed of leprosy. Luke 17, beginning with verse 11. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. He was going into a village. 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and they called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go, show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Now, it's not the main point of the message this morning, but it's definitely a footnote worth mentioning. Jesus said, go. He said, show yourselves to the priests. He asked them to do something. We need to understand in our lives that often God has blessings for us, and the blessings for us are going to be reciprocal upon us acting. He said, go. They went. And it is en route that they were, in fact, healed. That's what it says. Didn't say they got to the priest. Didn't say they said anything to the priest. Go show yourselves. And as they went, they were cleansed. God often acts in response to the obedience of the command in which he's given to us. So often we get that a little bit turned around, that we want all of his blessings without the obedience. Well, let's go on and look. It says, one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet. He thanked him. And there's a footnote, kind of a side note in the text, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. 9 went on their way. 9 did not take the time to show the common decency of gratitude and giving thanks to one who had touched them, to one who had brought healing to their physical bodies. 9 went on their way preoccupied with themselves, taking for granted what had happened, gripped with a spirit of ingratitude. Ingratitude and thankfulness, thanklessness, are far too common in the world today. Is the ratio really 9 to 1 of those who give thanks for what they have received to those who have not. One of the greatest indictments in the Bible against us is in Romans 1:21. Although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him. An ungrateful heart is the heart of one who has forgotten to give thanks. One who does not acknowledge that the provision is from God's hand, who does not see that the protection is God's protection, does not see the empowerment and the energy to live life and to do life comes from God. I just got to tell you, I was blessed last night. I don't get on Facebook very often, but every now and then there's a note, and so it calls me to my Facebook page, and I look at all the comments, and it was good to be on there because I wouldn't have read or known about your broken wrist, Shelby. I'm sorry to hear about that. We're praying for you. A little gymnastic thing. Tried to do a flip or something, a handstand on a balance beam? A what? A backhand, something or other on a balance beam. Yeah, you shouldn't do those things. It just doesn't make sense. But I was on there, so I found out about a prayer concern, and also it was neat to see, oh, I'm praying for you, Shelby, from friends. But that led me on down to the page. Are there other neat things on this page? And so I got on down, and somebody had sent greetings to my daughter, Erica, because it was her birthday yesterday. And Erica responded on her Facebook page yesterday, it's going to be a great day. I know it's going to be a great day. I get to go out with her boyfriend to Pittsburgh for dinner. It's going to be a great day. But it's not going to be great because I get to go out to dinner. It's going to be a great day to recognize and celebrate the life God gives, even my life. Do you have a sense of gratitude for the life that God gives? I'm not talking about somebody else's life. To be able to say, I can give thanks to God for the life that God gives my life. I heard a ludicrous story. It's of a guy that did, you know, everything in the classic way right to propose. Got the ring. Got the box. Blue velvet box, got down on his knees, presented her with the box, asked her to marry him. The next day, she responded to him. She says, I want you to know, I love the blue velvet box. I will treasure that box for the rest of my life. How do you think the guy felt? Wait a minute, girl, you missed the point. And it's a ludicrous story, but it's ludicrous because it's actually a story about us as Christians who sometimes miss the blessings that God has for us because of the box. And we do come to God and we do give thanks to God and we give thanks to God for the box. We give thanks to God for what? For our homes? Yeah, rightfully so. For our jobs, for our families, for gainful employment. And we're giving thanks to God for the boxes, the blue velvet boxes of our lives. When we miss out in giving thanks to God for the diamonds, for that which is so, so very precious, for that which speaks of His commitment to us, we miss out on the spiritual blessings that God gives to us. I'm going to have a couple assignments for you for this week. The one of them is going to be rereading the passage I'm going to summarize to you right now. Ephesians 1, beginning with verse 3, and reading through Ephesians 2, chapter 10. 30 verses. Well, you could have 32 if you want to start with verse 1 and 2, but that's the introduction to the book of Ephesians. But I want you to start out, and in my Bible, it talks about spiritual blessings in Christ. Do we, folks, recognize all that God has given to us in Jesus Christ? I just invite you, take a look this week and list out the spiritual blessings that you can find. Personalize them. Know that God has given them to you. Let me just, I'm going to scan through. And I'm going to see in verse after verse a spiritual blessing. Like in verse 4, He chose you. He snatched you from the very torments of hell. Chose you before the creation of the world. Then the next verse, He adopted you into His family. And then it goes on, He redeemed you by dying for you. He forgave you your sins. He lavished on you wisdom and understanding. He made known to you the mystery of His will. He gave you security and standing in Christ. He gave you the Holy Spirit as the seal of what was yet to come. He assured you of His eternal presence in your life. He promised you peace and joy. He named you into His will. Have you ever thought about whether you're listed in anybody's will or not? Might be a thought that's entered your mind, but has it ever entered your mind that you are listed in the will of the Heavenly Father, the Creator of all things? He named you in His will. He provided you all you need to grow into His likeness. He speaks into your life that you are God's workmanship. And He continually reminds you that He loves you, even when you don't want anything to do with Him and you don't reciprocate the love. He still loves you. Take time. Look and see the blessings of God. Are you a person who has a grateful heart, or are you walking away with the nine? Is the indictment against you? You know God. You know Him. But do not give thanks to Him. Do you only thank Him when the sun shines? When the job's going well? When the kids are sleeping? And miss thanking Him for the spiritual diamonds that speak of His commitment to you? The video clip got me thinking. Have I taken time to thank people? Have I taken time to give thanks to God for the people that God has brought into my life? What about you? If you look back, do you see the people that God has used? And so that video clip made me go back. Maybe go back to my parents and my grandparents and what they invested in me. It made me go back and look as a rebellious teenager how Kevin Rossman befriended me. How Kevin Rossman walked with me through a very difficult time of my life. How Kevin shared Christ with me. How a brand new pastor came to my little Methodist church in Knox. And how Ralph Romine, a hillbilly from West Virginia, had 7 kids before he ever got out of seminary, realized he should probably stop when the last couple sets were twins. Never had 2 nickels to rub together, but he took this rebellious kid, hadn't had his hair cut for 4 years, took me underneath his arm, and he'd say, "Hey, I'm going out to visit Zoe Bashline," one of the shut-ins of the church, lived in literally a shack in the woods, and he would take me out to visit her with him, and he showed me Jesus. And he introduced me to a pastor from Tynesta, Marietta. And Merritt Eder said, hey, I want to take you along as a very new young baby Christian. I want to take you along to a youth conference. And in that car was Sam Wagner, the music pastor at Christ Church. That was 1972. And then Kevin Rossman introduced me at Clarion State to Mike Lloyd, who was a student, as you know, is the from Christian Life Academy. And so I began to think back, and I looked, and I named person after person after person after person who poured into my life, who showed me Christ, who helped me to begin to know Christ, who helped me to begin to grow in Christ, who put in me a desire to make Christ known. Now, I don't want to dwell on almost 40 years ago, but I want you to know that I can take 1973 and I can take 1974 and 76 and 81 and 87 and 91, 97 and 2002 and 2004 and 2005 and 2009 when I came here. And I can tell you every year, because I've done it as a discipline to try to say who are the most six significant people in my life this year who have poured into me, who have supported me, who have encouraged me, and have I thanked them? And have I thanked God for them? I am so blessed. You are too. Have you thanked them? Have you thanked God for them? Paul shared in Ephesians 1:15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. There was a time. It was in January. And I heard that I was being asked to come to Galloway. And I began to hear about you folk. I began to hear a little bit, and then a little bit more, and then a little bit more, and a little bit more. And finally, come the end of June, I became introduced to you. July 1st, a year ago, started my ministry in your presence. And I want you to know this verse has truly been my experience, my life over the last year and a half, where I can truly say, ever since I began to hear about you, about your faith, about your love for one another, I can't help but every time I think about you, to give thanks to God for you. Thank you for being you. As significant as those people that I named were in my life, you are as equally, if maybe not more so, significant now today to me, because you are the people that pour into me. You are the people that encourage me. You are the people that are supporting me. You are the people that are helping me to see that which John Seth needs to be about. And I give thanks to God for you. Who is it that is pouring into your life? Who is it that is encouraging you? And if you went back and said, you know, I don't want to miss the opportunity. I want to say thank you, God, for them. I want to thank them. I don't want you missing the opportunity to give thanks to God for all of his spiritual blessings. I don't want to see you miss the opportunity of living out 1 Chronicles 16. It says, I want to make known all that God has done. So we're going to give you the opportunity. And I have just a couple more things to say, but none of them are as important as what you right now have to say to God. So I'm going to invite you to finish a sentence. And the sentence simply is, I thank God for. I thank God for. And you finish it. Is it a spiritual blessing that he's brought into your life at some point of time? Or is it a person that God has used in your life? And so We have a mic on that side, and we have a mic on this side here. Oh, you didn't know you were helping. Yeah. And we're going to let them just kind of work the crowd. And I just want to hear, but these are the rules. You got to keep it to two sentences, and you need to stand up and don't be afraid of the microphone. But, you know, it's one of those things when they record services, they really don't like these big blanks in the recording. So go ahead. Do you have something? Can you finish the sentence? I thank God for, encourage us so that we might see where we need to thank God for. Go ahead. Some of you get up and we'll get to you. 20 or 30 of you can stand up right now. Go ahead, Dennis.
I thank God for sending his son Jesus to be in my life and everyone else's.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Okay, somebody else. If you're already standing up while somebody's speaking, that helps them to get the microphone to you.
I was raising my hand in response to what he said.
And we, as God's people, come in agreement, and all God's people said,
Amen. Amen. Yes, I thank God for who he is and whose I am and for what he's done at Calvary and for 40 years of marriage, Ruby Amen. Anniversary.
Praise God.
Thank the Lord.
For spouses that put up with us. Amen.
For that ain't a blessing, I don't know what is.
Amen.
I thank God for never giving up on me and giving me many, many chances to fix myself.
Mm. Amen. God so loves us, he doesn't allow us to stay the way we are.
I thank God for my friends and family.
Amen. Amen. For those who pour into us.
I'm thankful for John and Susan Seth, who opened up their home to me at the age of 15.
Amen. Thank you, Julie. Besides a little weak, Carrier.
Tracy stole mine, so here's my second one. I just wanted to be able to thank God for opening up my eyes to see what he has to offer for me.
Amen. Amen.
I thank God for expanding family, and also thank him for just the grace he exhibits in our life.
I thank God for the protection that he's placed on our family. Last year when our son was in Iraq, he came home safely, and his whole unit came home safely, which was a miracle. And then my husband, everybody knows about the surgery he had and how he almost bled to death. And just thankful for the protections God's given us.
Amen.
I thank God for the people in my life group.
I just have to thank God that he has been faithful to me for almost 10 years. He's provided. He is my provider. He's been so faithful.
By the way, I won't tramp on any of your toes. Dawn and I are building a relationship. Dawn prays for me a lot. Dawn allows me to hold her accountable. Only 10 years? Okay, thank you. Just thought I would help you out there. But in a different way over these last 10 years as Dawn has been raising her children here. Yeah, thank you.
I thank God for Kim Simons and the whole children's ministry.
Amen. Amen.
Thank God. Thank God for physical protection that was unexplained, for 32 years of marriage this past week, and for the family that's come from that.
Amen.
This year has been full of changes for me. So I just praise God for the children he's sending into my life, the house that he's provided me with, and just truly learning how to love those that are difficult to love and understanding that he loves me in the process. You know, that's a hard one for me. So I just give thanks for that.
Okay, Jim.
I give thanks to God for a telephone call that we got from our son the other day. After his evaluation in Philadelphia at the Wells Eye Clinic, when they told him the tumor was no longer there.
Thanks, guys. Thank you. Thank you. We're going to give you more opportunities to do that throughout the month. And so we want gratitude just to be a way of life. And in honor of Veterans Day coming up, I needed to find another clip about a veteran. And it's one of my favorite clips. It's not just the clip, it's the whole movie. And that's Forrest Gump. If you haven't seen it, I could loan it to you. I got a copy for 3 more days from the video store. I actually have a copy. I bought it right away. It's a VHS copy. It's one of my favorite movies. The background of this scene is simply that Forrest Gump went off to Vietnam, and there was Lieutenant Dan. Lieutenant Dan had every expectation that he would die a hero in Vietnam. He would not come back crippled. He carried around a lot of resentment and anger that he didn't die a hero. Became consumed with alcohol and all sorts of vices. Forrest decided to get Bubba's shrimping business. Bubba was another one that gave his life in Vietnam. Now, I gotta let you know how serious I am about this movie. I have sought out most all the Bubba Gump chains across America and have eaten it, most of them. If I'm in a city and they have a Bubba Gump restaurant, I've been there. But nevertheless, get you back to the movie. So Forrest decides to try his hand at the shrimping business, buys a shrimp boat, tells Lieutenant Dan he's going to do this. Lieutenant Dan laughs at him and says, like, right, Forrest, if you ever buy a shrimp boat, I'll come and be your captain. Well, it's happened. He's bought a shrimp boat. Lieutenant Dan shows up to be his captain. They're in the midst of one of their excursions.
Still no shrimp, Lieutenant Dan.
Okay, so I was wrong.
Well, how are we going to find them?
Well, maybe you should just pray for shrimp.
Still praying at my heart.
So I went to church every Sunday. Sometimes Lieutenant Dan came too, though I think he left the praying up to me. No shrimp.
Where's this God of yours?
It's funny Lieutenant Dan said that, because right then, God showed up. Now me, I was scared. But Lieutenant Dan, he was mad.
Carmen came through here yesterday, destroying nearly everything in its path. And as in other towns up and down the coast, BioLabattery's entire shrimping industry has fallen victim to Carmen and has been left in utter ruin. Speaking with local officials, this reporter has learned, in fact, only one shrimping boat actually survived the storm.
Louise, that's Forrest.
After that, shrimping was easy. Since people still needed them shrimps and shrimp cocktails and barbecues and all, we were the only boat left standing. Bubba Gump shrimps, what they got.
We've got a whole bunch of boats, 12 Jennies, big old warehouse. We even have hats that say Bubba Gump on them. Bubba Gump Shrimp. It's a household name.
Hold on there, boy. Are you telling me you're the owner of the Bubba Gump Shrimp Corporation?
Yes, sir. We got more money than David Crockett.
Boy, I heard some whoppers in my time, but that tops them all. We were sitting next to a millionaire.
Well, I thought it was a very lovely story. And you tell it so well, with such enthusiasm.
Would you like to see what Lieutenant Dan looks like?
Well, yes, I would.
That's him right there. And let me tell you something about Lieutenant Dane.
Of course. I never thanked you for saving my life.
He never actually said so, but I think he made his peace with God.
A leper returned to say thanks. Lieutenant Dan finally came to that point of saying thanks to the one who had saved his life, and he made peace with God. John Seth came to that point of realizing what God had done for him, and he had received the gift of salvation. And I have been trying my best to live a life of gratitude, of an overwhelming sense of gratefulness to God for that which he has done. That's what this holy meal, the sacrament of Holy Communion, is. It is the Eucharist. Eucharist meaning thanks. It is a meal of thanksgiving. As Jesus took bread and he gave thanks. As we take the bread of life, the cup of salvation, we give thanks. We invite you this morning to prepare your hearts that you might give thanks to God for the salvation that he has given to you. And not only giving thanks to God for the salvation that he's given to you, but we invite you in the midst of giving thanks to God for the salvation he's given to you, that you might also give thanks for those God has brought into your life that you have had the opportunity to know him. I would invite you to stand that we might share together in song and prepare our hearts. And I would ask those who are going to be sharing the sacrament with us this morning, if those who are assisting in communion, if they would come forward at this time.